Greetings, my friends, and happy Easter. We continue in the season of Easter to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a good day to be in church together, and it's my joy to welcome you, especially if you are visiting with us. This is your first time to worship here at West End United Methodist. We are so glad that you're here this morning. We hope you have a chance to greet one another, both at the time of the passing of the peace in the service and at the end of the service, and perhaps meet someone new, make a new friend today. One of our practices as a congregation is to sign in, and we have registration pads at the end of each row, and I would encourage you to sign those and send them down the row, and as they make their way back to the center, pay attention to the names of the others sitting on your row, and that way you'll have a great opportunity to meet someone new today. If you're sitting on the center aisle, we would appreciate your ripping the sign-up sheets that have been signed and placing them on top of the pads. That's a great help to our ushers as they come by at the end of the service. If you are visiting with us, we invite you to gather in Reed Hall, which is just out this doorway, at the end of the service, and give us a chance to greet you and answer any questions you might have about our church and our ministry of serving God and our neighbor in this world. A couple of quick announcements this morning. We are continuing our diaper collection, our diaper drive for Hope Clinic for Women. We will continue to collect those through next Sunday, and there are details in the insert for you to figure out what we need to do that. And then next Saturday morning is our recycling day, which is open to the community. It's a great way to serve our community and to help God's good creation. So again, those details are in your insert this morning. We're continuing our journey through the book of Acts this morning as we watch and observe how the Holy Spirit continues to stretch the boundaries of the church, to teach the love of God, the broadness of God's mercy. So let us open our hearts and minds to welcome the Spirit among us and to have our hearts be stretched in God's love this morning.
Thank you. a new song. Make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Bring forth with joyous songs, sing praises.
Let the mountains rejoice out loud together before the Lord.
Let the world and its people sing together for joy.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have broken your rule. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves Christ's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. us join together in the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the baptizing of these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of God for the people of God.
Then Peter and all of the circumcised believers were astounded that the Holy Spirit had come upon even the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit is at it again. If you were here last week, we were in the 8th chapter of Acts, where the believer Philip encountered a man from Ethiopia. And lo and behold, the Holy Spirit guided their conversation, and suddenly this stranger from Ethiopia became a believer, and the church grew and included someone unexpected. And here we are, 2 chapters later, when now even the Gentiles have been filled with the Holy Spirit and are now included in what God is doing in the church. It's hard for us today to wrap our brains around how radical this was, what a huge change this was for those early Christians. One of the ways we can really get into this story and explore what a huge deal it was is to look at it through the eyes of Peter. Now, if you've been in church for a while, you've probably heard of Simon Peter. He was one of Jesus' 12 disciples who traveled with Jesus all throughout his ministry in Galilee. He often got it right, but usually got it wrong. He was very impulsive. But after the resurrection of Jesus and after the day of Pentecost, when the believers of Christ were filled with the Holy Spirit, it was Peter who rose to lead the church in Jerusalem. He'd spent most of his ministry so far among the Jewish people in Jerusalem, preaching and teaching about Jesus of Nazareth and how he was the Messiah they had been waiting for. And most, if not all, of the Christians that he knew at that point had come out of the Jewish faith. But in the 10th chapter of Acts, he gets called out of Jerusalem and visits a couple of small towns on the coast, where again he gathers and teaches among the Jews of those towns. And one afternoon, he's sitting on top of the roof of the house that is hosting him, and he's deep in prayer, and he has a vision. In that vision, God shows to Peter all the animals of the earth. And a voice says to Peter, "Rise up, Peter, kill and eat." And that is a huge moment for Peter, because among these animals that he's seeing in this vision are unclean animals. Animals that it's been made very clear in the Holy Scriptures, in the Torah, that he should not eat. He shouldn't eat pork. He shouldn't eat shrimp and shellfish and all of those things that are very clearly laid out in the Scriptures. And so Peter says to God, "By no means, Lord. For nothing unclean has ever passed through my lips." And then God says to Peter, "What I have declared clean, you shall not declare profane." Do you feel the tectonic shift in that? Everything that Peter has learned and been taught and practiced in his life is now being challenged by the voice of God. The way that Peter had always understood that you live out your relationship with God, that you live out the covenant with God, was to keep those laws of purity, to keep himself pure by not eating unclean foods and by not interacting with unclean people, the Gentiles. It was forbidden for a Jewish person to enter into the house of a Gentile and to sit down at the table and share a meal with the Gentiles. You would never do that. But Peter has had this vision now, and God has said, I have declared all of this now clean. And he's trying to figure out what God is up to and what this vision is all about when three messengers knock on the door. And they say to Peter, there's a Roman soldier named Cornelius. He lives in Caesarea, and he's been told by God to send for you. So now here is a Gentile, an unclean person who is inviting Peter to come to his house. And Peter has to make a decision. Luckily, the Spirit whispers in Peter's ear and says, go. So Peter goes, and he steps over the threshold of the house of Cornelius, a line he would have never crossed before, but a line that the Holy Spirit has drawn him to cross over. And Cornelius has gathered his family, his whole household, and friends and acquaintances from the city. And he says to Peter, God told us to be here and to listen to whatever you say. Well, what else is Peter supposed to do? And so he begins to preach. And he tells them about Jesus. And he's still talking when in the middle of his sermon, the Holy Spirit interrupts and fills all of the Gentiles, and they start praising God and speaking in tongues, and Peter's never preached a sermon like that before. And so he and those who came with him are astounded at what the Holy Spirit is doing. And Peter says to his companions, we've got to baptize these people. Because the Holy Spirit has come upon them just as the Holy Spirit has come upon us. What a journey Peter has been on in chapter 10 of the book of Acts. His whole understanding of how God works and what God is up to has turned 180 degrees. And thank God that Peter was able to be open to God doing a new thing. That Peter wasn't going to hold God hostage to the scriptures he had always known. That he was ready to accept and hear that God was up to something new and including people that Peter would never have thought acceptable to God before. So the question is God doing a new thing? Has God changed God's mind? I'm not so sure about that. God has changed Peter's mind. God has changed the mind of those early Jewish Christians so that they might welcome the Gentiles of other nations. But I think if we go all the way back to the beginning of the story, that's been God's plan all along. If we look at chapter 12 of Genesis, when God first calls Abraham and Sarah, and God says to Abraham and Sarah, I will make of you a special nation, a chosen people. You will have a special purpose in my plan. And your descendants I will shape, and I will teach them, and I will guide them. And through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. God's plan all along has been, I believe, to include all nations, to include all people. And over time, that revelation became clear through Jesus Christ, and in the giving of the Holy Spirit, the church began to open up wider and wider and wider. This is a story that invites us to self-reflection and to ask in what ways we might be like Peter, in what ways the Holy Spirit might want to take us on a journey of expanding our understanding of how God works and who God works through. We have a tendency as human beings to want to get to that moment where we can say, ah, okay, now I know how God works. I got the parameters now. As some people say, we got God in a box. And for some of us, this is our box. As if when the ink finally dried on the book of Revelation, God was finished doing new things. Peter thought that was true. And yet the Holy Spirit invited him to consider that God might do things in new ways and through new people. I can think of my own life, of times and ways that God has broadened my understanding of how God works. I'm sure you can think of those examples too. But it's Communion Sunday, and I'm not going to talk that long. But as the people of God, the invitation to us is to have our hearts, our minds, our lives ever open to the work of the Holy Spirit, that we might still find God can surprise us. Thanks be to God.
As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you'd like to share, please fill out a gray card. They're located in the pew racks in front of you, and indicate if you'd like those to be shared or to remain confidential. You can place the cards in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. This morning we celebrate the birth of McAllister Grace Meyer, who was born on April 24th to Molly and Kirk Meyer. And the rose on the communion table is in celebration of her birth. We also remember this morning Cindy David, whose father Albert David passed away on April 17th. Services were held on April 20th at St. Stephen's United Methodist Church in West Roxbury, Massachusetts. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this morning. We lift up to you the needs of our world, our community, and ourselves. We know, O God, that your desire is for abundant life for all of creation. And so we ask that you would make your presence known in those places where there is conflict and struggle and despair. May your peace prevail on earth. We pray for our leaders, that they might seek the well-being of all people. And we pray for our church, that we might continue to be a witness to your love and grace in the world. Grant your healing power this morning to those who feel broken in body, mind, or spirit, that they might be made whole. And guide us, that we might do all that we can to share your love, to care for one another, and to care for all of creation. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God has graciously given us all that we have. As a people of faith, let us return our thanks to God through the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into your glorious light. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread. And then he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Holy Spirit, on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Confidence that we are indeed the children of God, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As the many grains are gathered together in one loaf, so we who are many are gathered together in the one Christ who has died and risen for us. And together we drink from the cup of grace that unites us in love. The table is set, the invitations have been sent, and all who are here are welcome at this table. All who are not here are welcome at this table. This is not the table of the United Methodist Church or the table of West End United Methodist. This is the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all who are here today have a place at this table. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular congregation, we come to the altar rails and kneel as we're able. Our friends in the balcony begin after the choir, and then our transept, and then all of us who are in the center come at that point at the guidance of the ushers. You're invited as you're able to kneel and open your hands so that those who are serving know that you have yet to be served. And after receiving, you're invited to stay at the altar rails and pray as long as you would like. If you need gluten-free bread, there will be a station next to the lectern where Erin will be, if you'll just give her a wave and let her know. Also, Becky and I will be making our way around the sanctuary. If you're unable to make your way forward, we're happy to bring the elements to you in your pew. Every time we come to the table, we have an opportunity to give to the missions of our congregation, and our mission of the month is Habitat. We will be building a Habitat house together in September, and we're working to raise $30,000 to be able to give a family a home. So if you feel led to participate in that effort, the plates are right here up front to receive your gifts. The table is set, the invitations have been sent. All are invited to this table.
Thank you.
invite you to stand now as you're able and join with me in giving thanks for all that we have received. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves to others.
Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us glorify you in all things.
Amen. Amen. Yes, the people of Christ are invited to sing a new song, a song of God's widening love and grace in our world. May we go singing that song, and as we sing, may we know Christ's love and Christ's peace. Amen.